So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game! Time to play the game!
Politics.com. And as always, it seems, you know, there's always crazy stuff going on in the world, but guess what? It's day 8 of the government shutdown. The electric's still on. The water's still running. There's actually people going to work. Wow. The apocalypse has not happened. Why not, Ed Martin? Why not?
Hey, speak for yourself. You know, we got 7 inches of rain, and I could be wrong, but it seems like the trees are starting to die.
So you're telling me that the government shutdown is why we got 7 inches of rain and it's killing trees?
Hey, yeah, sure. I mean, that's why the trees are... What other reason could there be for the trees? I mean, you know, the maples are starting to yellow up. I've got a couple red maples, and they're losing their green color. I think they're dying because of the shutdown.
Well, it has to be. You know, it's only October.
I mean,
it doesn't happen
in
October.
Stuff.
There's no way.
That is
I agree.
Serious stuff. I mean, if this thing continues pretty soon, none of the trees will have leaves on them.
I understand. I understand completely. I tell you what, we got, you know, I'm to the point I was laughing so hard I almost died earlier, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But before we get into the news, I just want to give everybody some kind of idea of what this shutdown, you know, people are freaking out, you know, blaming the Republicans for shutdown. The Republican caucus, I've got to tell you, have passed 26 different bills for the Senate to vote on to fund government, including the FDA, the EPA, and all the other stuff. You know, we talked about this a little bit last night, Ed, that the House is the only entity that has responsibility to fund government. They are funding government. They're just not funding Obamacare because Obamacare right now is an illegal act. Now, the Republicans won't argue it that way, but I will. But here's an interesting thing people need to know about. Just from the shutdowns we have had until this one, the Democrats were in charge when President Ford was shut down for 10 days. The Democrats were in charge when President Carter's administration, we were shut down 57 total days. The Democrats were in charge when we shut down Reagan for 14 days. Democrats were in charge when they shut down the first George Bush for 3 days. Democrats were in charge when they shut down President Clinton for 26 days. So, you know, this is not anything new, folks. Let's get straight here. We've got to understand that. And I'll be honest with you, Ed, I'm really kind of surprised that the Republicans have held on this long, because I expected them to cave no later than the end of last week. And I even mentioned that on the show. They're still hanging in, which I'm glad they are. They need to. But I was really surprised that they might have a little bit more balls than I gave credit for. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I said it was going to be, I figured about 10 days, and, you know, that they didn't want to cross the debt ceiling. But, you know, right now, a lot of the talk coming out of the Republicans Party is, and you know, correctly so, you know, at least partially correct, is that as far as the interest payment on the debt and maintaining the credit rating of the, you know, the country, as far as U.S. Treasuries go, more than enough money coming in, so that it's not a threat. So I mean, when they're talking like that, it's like, oh man, they may hang on for a while. But you know, in all fairness, too, it's worth saying that yeah, the interest on the debt, there are other things that they really do need to pay. But again, there's right. You know, there's 200, I think, you know, whatever they're talking about, $200 million a day, just a vast amount more than actually to maintain the debt maintenance on the Treasury. So it's starting to sound like they're, yeah, they may be digging in. So,
well, I hope so.
Again,
I mean,
I wish they just all get a little more creative in the same old predictable stuff. But oh well, you know, they're gonna fight.
I think I mentioned it last night. I think I mentioned it last night. I may not have. I can't remember. But, you know, the debt, I mean, the IRS is still collecting taxes. The IRS takes in $200 billion each and every month in tax revenue. That's how much they take from the American people, $200 billion a month. The total debt per month on the interest is $20 billion. So certainly they've got plenty of money to pay the debt. The interest on the debt, so we don't have to worry about the default and all that other stuff. What's going to be really interesting here is, and this is why I really hope, and I put this before as well, that I hope that they stay out until after the 7th, because the 17th is when everybody universally agrees that we start defaulting on debt. Well, it's Republicans hold off, and the House Republicans, again, they're responsible for initiating expenditures. If the House Republicans sit there and they pass through a bill, let's say that we're going to go ahead and pay the interest on the debt going forward for, say, 6 months, you know, with no budget agreement. The question at that point will be, will the Senate finally go ahead and agree to vote? Will the Senate Democrats and Harry Reid and Barack Obama go ahead and vote on that so that we can pay the interest on the debt, keep from defaulting on our loans, or they still continue to play this BS game they've got? They know we're not going to vote on anything unless we get Obamacare. Because then the Democrats are clearly responsible for screwing the American people's financial situation. But how big a cojones do they have? Make sense?
Well, I don't think anybody has the nerve to take on, you know, not making the interest payments on the debt. I just don't think anybody does. Not so much that because they don't want to. You know, I think there are a lot of them are a bunch of narcissists, and they would do anything to gain political points for their party. But I also think what they, and rarely do I think politicians actually think long term, but I think they are aware of the long term implications there, that if they don't make that debt payment, then all the foreign countries are going, you know, and the debt rating is going to get crushed in the foreign countries like China and Russia and Japan and Germany. There's a lot more than just China. A lot of people seem to miss that sometimes. But they're going to basically, they're going to have more money to carry our debt and maintain our currency as the default currency for the world. And I think the possibility of them losing that and the possibility of them having to pay more money for all the debt that's already on the books going forward, you know, when they have to flip these notes and everything and all
right.
these treasury notes renew, I think that scares the crap out of them. Because at that point, you're looking, it's like, oh, crap, you know. And I think the Democrats and the Republicans look at it and think, that would take, it would not be fun, because all of a sudden your debt maintenance is going to, you know, potentially double, if not worse. And if you think you're running, you know, at that point, it gets a whole lot more difficult to not run a deficit. You know, everybody likes to talk about deficits, although they never pay the debt down. I think that's probably one of the few things that scares the hell out of them is to all of a sudden have a mandatory payment that's double what it already is. So I just think they almost view that as their money. And if they make a mistake, it's like a credit card. You know, you get a great introductory rate the first time you're a day late. They double, they're triple, they're quadruple. So that's what they're staring at. If they so much as screw with a renewal or an interest payment on the bonds that the Chinese or anybody else holds, then it's going to go up, and they're going to pay a price for it. And that's absolutely what they can't stand is having their credit card. You know, they like renewing their credit card. They like going through all the time and increasing the balance on their credit card, but they don't want the finance charges on their credit card to go up.
Well, you know, and I totally get that as well. In the meantime, though, we do have to pay attention to what they were spending. They can play the game they want to with that, but the bottom line is we have passed spending bills that have been passed to keep government working. Senate Democrats, in my opinion, and Barack Obama himself, who said he will veto anything that does not give him what he wants, and he has to have Obamacare and a clean bill sent to him, with a promise to raise the debt ceiling. Of course, this is the same Barack Obama who fought against the debt ceiling increase when George Bush was president, now says he has that it's the greatest thing in the world, as he was told he would later. So this is all nothing but hypocrisy and two-year-old business on steroids. But, you know, when we talk about spending money, here's a great example coming down the pike right here in Kentucky. There's Kate going
on
right now.
Before we get off of that, I do have to say I rarely laugh out loud at a radio, but today I'm driving home and I'm listening to the news about Barack Obama and John Boehner.
Oh, Lord.
Barack Obama, you know, Boehner's saying, we want to negotiate. We want to sit down and negotiate. And Barack Obama's saying, well, you know, until they fully fund the government and do Obamacare, there's nothing to negotiate. I'm not going to negotiate with them. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and as I think, I snickered out loud. Well, hell, if you get the government fully funded, with no strings attached, and you get Obamacare fully funded with no strings attached, what the hell's left to negotiate about? I mean, are they going to do fantasy football or something? What the hell are they going to negotiate about after that? It's like, well, give me everything I want, and then we can sit down and negotiate.
Well, from what I understand, that's
serious?
True. Yeah, and you know, that would work great, I guess, in an idealistic world. But here's the thing, though. Barack Obama is the one who initiated that phone call. He called John Boehner and essentially just called him to remind him that he wasn't going to negotiate unless he got those things. So, you know, for me, that was actually showed signs that Obama is worried. There was no reason for him to initiate a phone call just to reinforce and state the same damn thing he's been saying for the last 8 days. So, you know, I thought that was kind of a desperation attempt by Obama, like, wow, maybe I need to figure something. Well, I'm the president, and I ain't going to tell him what I'm going to do one more time, and maybe he'll take it serious now because they've got a poll out here that we've manipulated to act like they're in trouble and we're not. You know, I don't know what the hell he was thinking about initiating a phone call, but to me it was a very, very big sign of weakness. But, you know, there is a reason why we have to hold firm, folks. We've got to control money, and we've got a great example right here out of Kentucky. We're going to get back to more of the budget stuff in a minute. But we've got a Floyd County lawyer. His name is Eric Kahn. Now, think about that name. Come on, folks. Here's why. Yeah.
I'm telling
he
you. I know where you're going with this. Is there not a more appropriate named lawyer?
See, there you go. Eric Kahn is being accused. He's actually earned $22.7 million in attorney's fees from the Social Security Administration since 2001. Think about that, folks. This one lawyer has earned $22.7 million from the Social Security Administration since 2001. And basically it's because he schemed and colluded with a judge to screw the disability benefits program. Eric Kahn, a Floyd County lawyer, he calls himself Mr. Social Security, by the way. He rigged medical records and steered hundreds of cases straight to an administrative law judge. And this administrative law judge basically got beat. His name is Judge David Dougherty. He's at Social Security Administration's regional office. And between the judge and the attorney, $22.7 million in fees. That means he had doctors, he had all kinds of people that he was paying up. This is just one attorney. It involves 1,800, as near as I can tell, and it's probably more than that, but as near as I can tell, it involves about 1,800 Social Security cases. Some of these a judge approved automatically without even going through the pretense of having a mandatory hearing on Social Security disability. We've got at least two doctors involved, David Hare out of Ohio, and Bradley Atkins out of Kentucky. You know, why is it that nobody wants to talk about that stuff? Why is it that these guys were allowed to go on for at least 12 years? That's almost $2 million a year this attorney was getting from Social Security Administration to get benefits. What he does is he takes the daggone case, he goes to the judge, they sign off agreeing to give this guy a disability check, the lawyer gets 40% of whatever back pay and everything else there is involved there, and moves on to the next case. Ed, do we not need government oversight and accountability when we think about stuff like this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, especially when I think of stuff like, and I'm going to get a little nerdy here, but when I think of stuff like the NSA and collecting their metadata, which is more than anything is used to establish patterns and stuff, it just amazes me that, you know, and I read the article that read probably some of the articles that you've read on this con man, is the percentage, things like the percentage of cases that were approved were just astronomically higher than the others. The everything that's in there, that there should have been at some point some computer, some analyst, somebody should have picked up a pattern, because this is like a weather pattern. This is, it's not like a ripple in the water. This is $20 million plus. Yeah, and the guy was brazen about it. And then to think he had 1,800 people that were in on it, and somehow, you know, I guess he must have really sweet-talked him and got him a pretty good payoff, and who knows? Yeah, I'm waiting. It'd be great to see when it comes out if he leaned on some of these people and said, you better keep your mouth shut because, you know, you're getting in trouble for this too. But how in the hell do you keep 18, you know, all in all, he probably had about 2,000 people involved in this. How do you keep them all from going off on you and somebody calling up an investigator, a federal investigator?
Well, who's
going to
call
up,
though?
Look,
who's going to
call
up, though?
This guy railroaded me. You know, an employer, because I can tell you, I've had incidences where, you know, whether it's, and I'm going to get into detail, whether it's work comp or Social Security, but I've had people and old people that have, basically, there are doctors that they know how to fill out a report. There are lawyers who go in, and when they come up against judges like this, you know, there are insurance companies and stuff that, yeah, the game is rigged. So, I mean, it happens. To me, it just amazes me that somebody somewhere didn't perk up, you know, because I'm sure it wasn't just Social Security. I mean, there had to be some workman comp in there somewhere. Sure to God, some insurance company said, damn it, man, this feels like we just got railroaded.
No,
maybe we should call the feds. Just, damn it,
this
we just got railroaded again.
See, this thing here, though, this is pure disability. And here's the thing. If the attorney took $22.7 million in fees, okay, then typically attorneys will take between 30 and 30%. Some of them take 30% of cases like that. I'm being told by a couple of attorney friends of mine, they take cases like that for 40% of whatever whatever the back pay is. So you look realistically at 40%, that means that in the last 12 years, this one attorney has been responsible for falsifying medical records and everything else to get security approved for a couple thousand people that cost the American people lump sum payment. Let's get the month to month after everything's approved. These are lump sum total, almost $60 million. This is one attorney. And I've got to be just as honest here. I've got to be just as honest here. About 3 years ago, I mean, you know, a lot of other people do too. I'm not too shy about my history. But I've got it makes it damn near impossible to walk, sit, or stand for very long at all. But I do it. You know, it's painful. It's weak. There's all kinds of things. But I was told 3 years ago by a doctor that he'd get me Social Security disability if I wanted it. And that was key to me if I wanted it. Now, you think about this. I never asked anybody anything about that. I asked for Social Security disability, but I've got a doctor, somebody I've seen before then, and I haven't seen her since, and I won't. And I'm not out them right now. But the reality is I was told if I wanted Social Security disability, they can make sure I qualified. That's how easy it was. Now, I don't do it, folks. I'm not on Social Security disability. I don't believe in gaming the system. You know, I could work. There's just different things that I have to do. You know, but, you know, the reality is this came to me without me thinking along that line. You know what I mean? It was basically offered me as the way that I took it. Now, this is attorney
this is
a judge Dowdy.
It's not at all different for workman's comp. I mean, work comp is it might even be worse.
Workman's comp. I know people who've gained workman's comp. Ford employers are notorious for gaming workman's comp. But, you know, it's the reality, though. This is how easy it has been. know, and you think about it, this attorney just got caught, cost us $60 million in lump sum. I'm another example of how this happens every single day. How many people actually take advantage of that? How many hundreds of millions or even billions of dollars are we spending on Social Security disability benefits for people who are otherwise capable of working? You know, I'm capable of working. You know, I'm not making the money that I used to make because physically I can't do that physical work anymore. But, you know, still capable of working. There's other things too. You know what I mean? So this is the thing. It's way too easy. It's too alarming. That story came out, and I thought, you know, this is a great example of just what in the hell, why we need to hold the fort, man down the hatches, and pay attention to what's going on.
We're of course angry at the at the attorney. He's the one being leveled at. But you know,
we're angry at the judge.
Couldn't have been done without the judge. The judge needs to do some hard flipping time.
You betcha. Judge Dougherty was subpoenaed. He didn't even bother to show up. You know, this is a guy who's supposed to be a judge, bring honor to profession. He didn't even bother to show up to the hearing, even though he was subpoenaed to show up. You know, I'm angry at the judge. I'll be honest with you. I'm pissed at the attorney because I think he's worthless. He's a piece of scum. Don't need to be in law. However, that judge is supposed to be the check and balance to that. That judge is the one who makes the decision on whether this gets approved or not. And that judge was bought off by an attorney for his own selfish greed. That judge, the first thing he should have done was turn this guy into the bar and have him disbarred if he had any ethics or integrity or morals at all. He did not. So it's the judge, in my opinion, who's at fault here. He is the one who makes the final decision to approve or disapprove. You know, and, of course, we've got other stories going on. This one story, man, I've got to talk about this story real quick. We're going to jump around a little bit tonight, Ed, because I'm kind of getting fun. I'm having fun here. But you know, we know that a week ago, the Park Service tried to shut down the veteran honor flights and everything else to try to let our World War II vets into their own memorial. You know, now they're still not allowed in a memorial, but it's not the arrest thing, you know. But what's funny here is last night we told a story about how they were building a huge stage for an immigration rally at the Mall in D.C., which is part of the whole memorial area and things like that, that's shut down. And they were allowed to continue doing that. The problem for me at that time was, how can you sit here and allow them to do this when you're trying to shut veterans? The Vietnam veterans have been completely shut out. You've shut down Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, Mount Rushmore, you name it, you know, wide open areas. We're going to allow this immigration rally. Well, we've got our answer. Apparently, thousands of people showed up today for this rally. And what makes it so interesting is they weren't arrested. Because here's the kicker. You had politicians, Democrat politicians, show up. About 30 members, Democratic members of Congress, were expected to attend the rally. Most did, including House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senator Bob Menendez. Now, here's how it was allowed, folks, because several immigration activist groups worked with the Service Employees International Union and the AFL-CIO and the 30 members of Congress. So they got to hold their rally today. So it's okay for the Democrats and leadership stop you from stopping at a stop on the way to take pictures of Mount Rushmore or to look at the Grand Canyon. But we're going to go ahead and let our Democratic leaders use federal land for anything they want to do. What do you think, Ed?
Well, I think we need the names. I think the public deserves the names of those Democrat leaders. I mean, you know, I'm not against having your silly rally. You know, I mean, we'll call it silly. I'm not against having your rally. It's your First Amendment right. But, you know, I'll be damned if we're going to do that. And once again, close down, you know, especially when you consider you're closing down, in a lot of cases, economic activity, like when you're talking Mount Vernon and the Grand Canyon and Lake Mead. I mean, you're snipping a ton of economic activity. But, you know, hey, once again, let's be fair about it. If you're going to close it, close it. If you're going to open it, open it. And as we said the other night, That includes, you know, because initially I thought, you know, one of the reasons they had it, because they had their permit and everything, and this thing had been in the works. You know, they didn't want to get in trouble, but hey, guess what? So did the Ku Klux Klan for their Gettysburg rally, you know.
Well, you're right.
A useless and offensive rally, but protected by the First Amendment. You know, I'm glad Ken called last night, too, because, like I say, totally legitimate points. It's either equal treatment under the law. So I'm wondering, after all this is said and done, if the government in the Parks Department or whomever is going to find themselves, you know, and the ACLU will probably do it reluctantly, but they should, you would think, represent people who were treated, you know, differently.
Right.
That were denied, you know, denied passage, denied the right to do what others did for whatever reason. It's like, it's equal treatment under the law, and it apparently doesn't mean anything.
You know, they had speeches about a civil rights activist today. Union reps, of course, got beat. Now, remember, on Friday, the government brought their union reps back to work. Not the union employees, but the union reps. Now, know why the union reps were brought back to work on full pay? Because now they can go talk at these daggone, you know, protests on federal land that nobody else is allowed on. But you had them, the minority groups. You had Congress groups there. Nancy Pelosi was the key speaker. You know, so she spoke there. You know, this is just one story. This is what USA Today. This is, I want you guys to know the source here, and it's very important to know why. The reason that I use USA Today here is they're trying to act like this was a huge deal. It was a great thing, you know, praising the Democrats and everything. And then you've got others out there. You know, you look at some of the different things that are going on here, and we've also got reports that, you know, some, not all, but some members of Congress were arrested. Yep, that's what they're saying. They're saying that some members of Congress were arrested, including Charlie Rangel and a couple of other people, at this rally. We know that we had Republicans at the World War II Veteran Memorial that were not arrested. We know this, right? But, you know, Charlie Rangel and some other prominent Democrat, you know, Congress people miraculously were arrested today. You know, why? This would be Atlantic Wire. Why were they arrested? Because showing up illegally at this thing. Now, supposedly they had a few thousand people here. A few thousand people here. And they automatically chose, this is always funny to me, they automatically chose these Democratic representatives to arrest. Lewis, Ellison, Kujawa, Crowley, Al Green, Terrence, Schakowsky, and Charlie Rangel. Those were the ones arrested. Out of the thousands that showed up, those were the ones arrested. Ed, can we say set up?
Oh, yeah, this is a setup. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, God bless the civil rights movement, but it's somewhat of a badge of honor for some people to be arrested. Yeah. In the defense of justice. I mean, and that goes for the right wingers too. You know, sometimes they'll provoke it. You know, they want to get arrested. So I mean, yeah, let's see what they're arrested on. It's like, oh, you know, and how much time did you spend in jail? You know, or we're just processing the paper.
Right.
Hey,
well, I mean, if you look at the pictures,
we all know they got arrested.
Well, I put the link. Now, that story of the arrest.
Yeah, put a cruiser and met their limo around the corner.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I just put the link to the arrest. But it's interesting. USA Today just put their story up less than an hour ago. Didn't mention anything about that. Talking about the Kumbaya moment, standing up for immigration. Didn't say one word about anybody being arrested, especially Democrats in Congress. You would think it would be front page news all over the world, and it's not. These arrests came from the Atlantic Wire. I just put that link in the chat room as well for anybody that's there. So, you know, this is what makes it interesting. And if you look at the pictures they have, the photos they have of these congressmen, they're standing there in cuffs, a couple officers next to them, not really worried about them or paying much attention to them. You know, and they've all got smiles on their faces. This was a setup to try to send an image to the American people. Look, we got arrested for standing up for immigration so that we can keep the immigrants vote. I mean, this is pathetic pandering from this administration like nothing I've seen in my life, these Democrats today. It's incredible to me. But I thought that was interesting, so I wanted to put that out there, too. We're going to take the bottom of the hour break real quick. When we get back, of course, we'll continue the conversation. Why not? We got to talk about California since we're talking about immigration. This is a hilarious story you guys are going to get into. And, of course, the IRS is under more heat. So just stick around, folks. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back, and we'll take care of business. Stay tuned. So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
When this old world gets me down, and there's no love to be found, I close my eyes. I'm in a playground in my mind where the children laugh and the children play and we sing a song all day. My name is Michael. I got a nickel. I got a nickel shiny and
yeah. It's the playground in my mind. We've got 8 Democratic congressmen decided they were going to have themselves intentionally arrested, told cops, arrest me, make sure we get pictures of this. But it didn't make mainstream news. Imagine that thing. Because we want to show that we're in solidarity with all the immigration laws and everything else we're trying to pursue. It's such a joke, I tell you what. Everything about this administration is a laugh to me anymore. Let's go through the phones real quick. Mayo, you're on the air. Hello? Well, I guess we're dropping him. He'll be back in a minute. Ed, I tell you, you can't make this crap up, man. That's what makes everything so hilarious. You know what?
Yeah.
Man, we never run out of stuff. And speaking of hilarity and illegal immigration and holding, you know, illegal rallies on federal land when our own veterans can't even get access to it, we have another dumb story from a dumb liberal. And, of course, this dumb liberal is out of California, which many people wish would just go ahead and break off from the U.S. and sink at the bottom of the ocean. But Governor Jerry Brown, I know, folks, you're going to laugh. I understand that. Governor Jerry Brown.
Moonbeam.
Do what?
He's also known as Governor Moonbeam.
Yeah, he is known as Governor Moonbeam. You're absolutely correct. But Governor Moonbeam decided, for his great wisdom, that he was going to approve and sign a bill that would allow illegal immigrants to become licensed attorneys in the state of California. You heard me right on that, folks. Jerry Brown, Governor Moonbeam, as Ed said, is going to allow illegal immigrants to become licensed attorneys, licensed to practice law in California. Now, other than the obvious, what a dumb, a bonehead move. You're now saying that you can have, you can be a lawbreaker and practice law and get paid for it. You're giving illegal immigrants all this power and authority. Ed, talk to me, man. I mean, what in the hell is this guy thinking?
I'm telling you, you know, you have both argued cases, so, you know, hey, we like to argue. I'm just sitting here going through a litany of questions in my mind. It's like, okay, how do you go to law school? Because if you're an illegal, I mean, how do you, you know, do you go under a false ID, or how do you get into school? How do you get the money to pay for school? Because once again, if you're not a U.S. citizen and you're illegal, are you acquiring all the funding and the education under a bogus ID? Then I got to stop and think, okay, so So you're illegal and you're practicing law, which I guess you're getting paid. I guess you're getting paid to practice law. So
of course you are.
That, isn't that part of a problem that if somebody employs you as an illegal and pays you as an illegal, aren't they? You know, isn't that part of all this immigration reform? And both sides say, you know, let's you know, you cram it to the employers pretty hard. So okay, you're employing this person, they're illegal. I'm thinking, okay,
so now they get paid.
So they're illegal. They don't have a legitimate Social Security number. How are they going to pay taxes for the money they get paid for practicing law? I'm fine. If you can walk in and pass the bar. I don't care if you're from Mars. Fine, practice law. But all of the economic and tax related things, it's like, how do you get past that? So. I mean, that's the question I would ask. All right, so you're a lawyer. Let's say you're.
Well, I'll give you the backstory on why. I'll give you the backstory on why in just a second. I want to go right back to the phones real quick because we lost Mayo a second ago, and I'm trying to be fair here. Mayo, you're back on the air, man. What can we do for you?
Yeah, it seems like BTR is still having some headaches with you. I tried calling back and was doing a recording. The person you were trying to call is not taking calls at this time. I was like, what? So
yeah,
I had to go to the 800 route. So,
as BTR, man, it's crazy.
You're using the illegal alien because, you know, the API in their handbook, you know, they put it out, you can no longer call these people illegal aliens. They must be referred to as undocumented workers.
Well, exactly. And to be fair here, the article did read undocumented immigrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sugarcoating. I'm going to tell it how it is.
Yeah, but as I say, once again, you're undocumented, so you're probably working with a false ID, a false, if any,
security number.
So I'm wondering how you get access to law school. I'm wondering how you clear all the stuff like taxes and the whatnot.
I'll explain
how you get a government loan or a student loan without a Social Security number or ID. You know,
well, let me give you guys background on this real quick. And Mayo, I'm going to get a chance to respond, man. I apologize. I don't want to get this in real
right.
quick so we can avoid.
No problem.
So we don't waste time on more questions. But the reason Jim Brown took this road, there is a case out there, the case of Sergio Garcia. For you guys who don't know who he is, Sergio Garcia is an undocumented Mexican immigrant. He was brought to the U.S. as a baby by his family. He went to California law school, went to school, did everything. Even the State Bar of California and the State Attorney General want to let this guy practice law in California. Now, he came here as a baby, as an illegal Mexican immigrant baby. So supposedly that makes a difference, I would assume, in their logical thinking. In my mind, it doesn't, because Garcia is no longer a baby. He can go ahead and get a green card, and he can go ahead and get a work visa or whatever he wants to do, and he can get things legally and be allowed to practice law in California. You don't have to be a natural-born citizen to practice law. But he is still an illegal immigrant who has not taken care of the basics that you should be doing to become a U.S. citizen or if, you know, whatever you have to do. He's not done any of that. So this is all stemming from this particular case. Now, there are two other cases going on. There's one like this going on in New York, and there's another one in Florida that's the same way. An illegal immigrant brings their baby here, who's an automatic illegal immigrant. But then you get into the questions that Martin has already raised. How did this kid go through school? How did he qualify for funding? So he has clearly been using false ID because you have to have a Social Security number and everything else. You can't be an illegal alien with a valid Social Security number. So, you know, all of these things are going on. So this guy wants to practice law, and everything up till the time he was 18 years old wasn't his fault. But after the age of 18, especially going to law school, the law in the kind of a situation, he hasn't done anything to make himself legal, get his green card, or any of the other things that are required. So is he still running around with a fake Social Security card and using an illegitimate ID? Those are the questions Martin raises, and I'm in agreement with that. Go ahead, Mayo.
No, I mean, I'll agree. It's part of the, you know, the Obamacare that they haven't touted or let know. But, you know, from the DREAM Act that he passed, none of those people have to pay.
Well, you're right.
That's what kills me, you know. So, I mean, like what you're saying, this, here's somebody who's lived their whole life. They're going to get the benefits of being an American citizen, which most of us get through working and paying Social Security and taxes and, you know, state, federal, et cetera. And he's paid, but yet what is he paid on? And whose Social Security number does it really belong to? And if it's the wrong name on his diploma, because if he passes the bar, one of the questions is, are you known by any other name? Is this your legal this and that? He is automatically disbarred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how can he want to take any case to court if he does have the cojones to tell the truth? He's automatically disbarred from everything he's done, and he has to go back and do it again. But that's something called integrity.
Right. Go ahead, Martin.
Yep. Well, I was going to say also, you know, when I hear the any other name thing, I'm thinking, you know, it's like you're starting to talk passports, you're starting to talk driver's licenses, blood donations.
Right.
I mean, this guy's running around, and I feel bad for him. I mean, at some point, maybe as a wee little kid or when he got 18, maybe he should have applied for refugee status. You know, hey, I was a kid. I got drugged in between international borders. Come on, throw me a bone here. You know, and I'm sympathetic to that kind of situation for the kid. But yeah, it's just the legal ramifications and the tax ramifications. I mean, has this kid ever paid taxes? I'm with Mayo. Has he ever paid taxes in his life? And if he has, under what name? Under what Social Security number? And at some point, it becomes identity theft. You know, when you use the cumulative of it, he's in one form or another and swiped somebody. If he is using a Social Security number, which you think he would have to, he is maybe not totally to the detriment of somebody, but there's been an identity theft at which transactions probably go into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So this, you know, how is that not a felony?
Well, I see it in that whole thing, because realistically, we've got somebody, and again, up until the time he was 18 years old, it's not, you know, anything that he did. He was a child. I mean, even in any law you look at, he's a child, here in America anyway. So he was brought here illegally through no choice or any fault of his own. Don't got a problem with that. You know, but see, it always gets twisted, because he came here at 17 months old. Here's more of the story, guys. I wanted to see where you're going to go before I put this on you. But he came here at 17 months old illegally. He was actually taken back to Mexico when he was 9. And then he came back here at the age of 17 and applied for citizenship. Now, his father had applied and become an American citizenship during the 8 years that Garcia was in Mexico. So he came back when he was 17 and applied for citizenship. It was filed in 1994. 19 years later, still not there. So, you know, we've got to look at all of this in the entirety. But why was he back to Mexico at 89? And, you know, his father simply sponsored him and brought him back to 17. So now do we still have the same argument? Is he still on illegal and applied for citizenship at 17 years old and was sponsored by an American citizen, a non-naturalized American citizen, of course, but he's still an American citizen. So does that change the dynamics of this case? And should Garcia go ahead and get his law license? Huh?
Like you say, as far as the law license goes, that's a matter of just passing a bar. I mean, if you're some kind of genius that can sit down and read all the law books and pass the bar, I don't care if you never got out of the eighth grade. If you can pass the bar, you can be a lawyer, as far as I'm concerned. Now, like I say, everything else stems from just the difficulties of doing business with somebody that might not be properly documented and licensed for, you know, simply doing something down the lines of paying them.
Okay. Because, you know, according to the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act, this was passed in 1996, this actually is the whole problem with Garcia. He is not allowed to get any licenses, any personal licenses or anything else, commercial or professional licenses, issued by any state or the federal government. Because according to the Reconciliation Act, because he's an illegal alien, he does not qualify to be able to practice in any professional capacity or commercial capacity. So It's really kind of interesting because this was passed in 1986. Garcia actually did leave as a young guy and came back 8 years later, presumably right before he turned 18. You know, there's a lot of twists and turns in this. So then we really get to the story, and it's kind of where I want to go with. Then we really get to the point where, okay, do we really need to start looking at immigration entirely different? Because Garcia is not alone. You know, now we all talk about illegal aliens, cut the borders and everything else, and I'm 100% agreement with that. And I don't believe there should be a blanket amnesty law. I'm 100% agreement with that. Ship these people back. If you're illegal, get the hell out of my country and come back the legal way, like thousands of other people have been waiting 5 to 10 years and even longer, because the legal immigration, we're so full. These guys are trying to do it the right way and aren't being treated fairly because the illegals have taken over. So get rid of the illegals. But in Garcia's particular case, this is a case-by-case basis here. He was here from the age of 17 months till he was 9 years old, then sent back to Mexico and came back 8 years later to live with his father, who in the meantime had become an American citizen. And applied for citizenship right away. So does that change the dynamics? Does that change anything that the Republicans are up against when it comes to the immigration law? Does it change anything when it comes to the way we view the Democrats in this situation? Anyway, it's still an illegal act. Where do you draw the line? What do you get?
When he came back and he did it the second time after age 9, did the person that sponsored him actually use his real name in that, or did he still put it under fake circumstances, you know, Social Security number, birth certificate, et cetera?
His father,
or did he try to set the record straight then? You know,
his father sponsored him at age 17 to come back to the U.S. and applied for citizenship right away. So at that point, he was trying to do everything legal, and he did have legal documentation. Yes. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I was going to say, if he has tried to, once again, as far as licensing and stuff goes, if you're qualified, you know, because I know lawyers who travel internationally and they essentially practice laws in other countries because they're qualified. So if you're qualified, I don't care what citizenship you are. You know, if a Mexican lawyer wants to come up out of Mexico City and defend somebody in America, if he's passed the American bar, let him. I don't care. I say, and as far as paying goes, now when it gets down to immigration reform. You know me, I've still got that libertarian pedigree. I think we definitely need, we need immigration reform. We need to look at things like work visas. I mean, we need to make it easier for people to move back and forth to, to work and to do so both protected and to do so at a market value so they don't destroy the, let's just say, certain labor markets for the, natural-born American workers, you know, the bulk of the work. So, I think we need reform, and I think this is a good example. I think even if he doesn't get his citizenship, he's bringing a professional service, so he's not like he's beating the snot out of some American worker driving the wages down to $3 an hour. He wants to be a practicing attorney. They should set him up with some kind of work visa.
Okay.
Well, here's why I got
ahead.
Questions. To Ed Martin, I said, if in some way he has tried to make, if his filing or once he found out or something, I don't know if restitution is the right word, but he's trying to set things straight, then, maybe give a chance. But then I'd also look back, okay, did he lie on his school records? Did he lie for government funding or government grants? And then, I hate seeing people who are, American citizens or came here illegally from other countries and they get told no, 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 or you have people that try doing it legally and they've been on a waiting list for 10, 15 years from their country, and then because you have a bunch of numbskulls that came here illegally and Obama's just going to go, the slate's clean with the, his Dream Act. No, I'm sorry, I disagree with it. Make them go back, refile the paperwork, get put on the waiting list, and if you want somebody that's a Dream Act, then pass those who have been on the waiting list for the past 10 years and who have done things legally, to show that they've wanted to be an American citizen. I don't care if they're from Mexico, Bosnia, Serbia, it doesn't matter, Timbuktu. But if, we want people here in America that want to be Americans, not come here just for the benefits, come here illegally, break the law, abuse the system to get in, you know, and then have their, you know, whole slate wiped clean by the nanny state.
Well, here's my thing. Everything up to age 17.
I'm not for that at all. I mean, you know, if I were gonna rewrite the laws, first thing I'd say is if you're here illegally, you will never be a U.S. citizen. Now, you can work here, and you can pay your taxes here, but you will never benefit from, you know, X, Y, and Z social programs. You will pay taxes. So if you want to put your kids to school, that's fine. You're paying taxes. But you, if you're here illegally, you will not be an American citizen. But then again, part of the other part of me says, I'm just not really into spending all the time and effort to send you back, knowing that you're going to simply come back again. It's like, hey, you're here, pay taxes, realize a few benefits of living here for your taxes. Definitely, you kind of be hard on employers if they want to hire somebody that's undocumented, because being documented is so damned easy if you reform it right. And, yeah, then the people that are on the waiting list, yes. Nobody that's here illegally gets in line ahead of somebody that's on the waiting list. Not for citizenship, no.
Well, yeah, I can agree with you. Here's the thing, though, and this raises all kinds of questions. But here's the thing in Garcia's case. Like I said, until the day he turns 18, he's not responsible for his actions. He's not an adult by American law. But he was brought back here at 17 years old. He was approved to come back to the U.S. His father filled out the paperwork and sponsored him to come back to the U.S. His father is an American citizen. He became an American citizen later. So he was an American citizen. He sponsored his son to come back to the U.S. And as soon as he got back here, applied for citizenship. All right. Now, Garcia now, this is like 19 years later, folks. Garcia now is 36, 37 years old. But Garcia went to law school in the interim time. He went through Cal Northern School of Law, financed himself through school, from what I understand. But the reality is, so assuming this guy didn't take one dime student loans or anything else, he did come back legally through his father at 17 years old, stayed here, has applied for citizenship in 1994. He applied for citizenship, still hasn't got anything done. He's built his whole life in America legally after the age of 17. So wrong right to allow him to practice law, because we've got a law in 1996 that was passed, the Reconciliation Act that was passed, that says he can't do this because he was here prior to 1996. So I'm kind of on the fence with this particular case, but at the same time, you know, I also want to point this out, and this is going to sound pretty bad, and I understand that completely, but I also know that, you know, I guess I would feel more comfortable in this situation fighting for Garcia if I knew it was his real dad. And I'll tell you why. Because there are plenty of cases throughout America today that we find that adults are illegally claiming the other people's kids as their own kids for whatever reason. For benefits, you name it, whatever, you know, so they can keep their kids here in America, they can get benefits for them, you know, when they're not their real kids, they're their sister's kids, or their uncle's kids, or their aunt's kids, whatever, you know. So we don't know that this is exactly, you know, if he really is, if the DNA matches up, I guess I should say, and I hate to be that way, but, you know, I know of at least one example on a personal level where that is the case. You know, I've turned it in. Nothing was done about it. You know, so there's a lot of questions to be asked here. But here's a guy initially who came to the U.S. at 17 for the final time, sponsored by an American citizen father to come here, has applied for citizenship 19 years ago, put himself through law school, and isn't allowed to practice what he studied for. Wrong or right? I mean, yeah, it really does get down to that simple for me. So, you know, we got a lot of things to ask here and never going to get the answers. There are at least one other thing I want to get into real quick before we leave. You know, we've got an interesting situation with IRS once again. I want to get into this story for a minute before we leave here. I apologize. I meant to, sir. But apparently there's been several senior IRS officials, including Lois Lerner, everybody remembers that name, that have been violating agency policy and federal records laws because they've been using private email to conduct business and send confidential taxpayer information back and forth. This Friday, the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, Acting Commissioner Daniel Werfel, found out about all of this. Daryl Issa, he's the one who was running the investigation. And there's four top IRS officials, including Lois Lerner, who's been using private email illegally to bypass open records and everything else and pass along information, privacy information, that they have no right to confidential taxpayer information to pass. This is going to be a big scandal, supposedly, but not really. This is something that is out at freebeacon.com, folks. I will put that in the chat room real quick. Freebeacon.com is where this story comes from. Notice, once again, that it's not anything that's on mainstream news. You're not finding any of the mainstream news outlets covering it. You're not finding the TV, paper, or anything else covering it. Why is that, Ed Martin? Why is that?
Well, yeah, actually, I think one of the reasons that they might not be covering it is because they have dumbed down their audiences so much that, you know, they're going to sit there and try to explain that, well, you have to understand, for accountability, when they have agency conversations, it has to be done on the agency computers, because all email communications in the business have to be stored. You know, that's the way it is in business. You sit there and tell that to somebody and then say, oh, and they were just conversing on Google Mail or whatever. People are going to go, I don't get it.
I know.
What were they talking about? You know, then it gets into, what were they talking about? Well, we can't tell you. So it's sort of unless somebody's really willing to dig into it deep, then it's sort of a non-story. You know, if it bleeds, it leads. It doesn't work that way. So it's, I think that's what you run up against, is it's kind of a technical story. It's got some legal aspects to it, a little bit of sneakiness, but I think it bores people. You know, they want to spend time on the network news of telling us who Esquire's sexiest woman of the year is or something, or you know, or have the voice sing off rounds or something. You know, they want it easy. They don't want to have to explain to people, you know, okay, this is the law, this is what they were doing, they were breaking the law, and this is what they were talking about. It's like, my God, that might even take a 4-part news story.
It's true. It's really interesting because we know this goes on at every level, local, state, and federal government, folks. Your elected leaders use their private and personal email to bypass a lot of stuff because they do not want to be subject to open records laws. You know, their government emails were set up to be government emails for a reason. Now that we have sunshine and open records laws, we expect to have the opportunity to go ahead and find out, you know, what's really going on in government. Unfortunately, they found it to bypass it by doing it this way. And that is legal as hell. They've got laws written to do that. Mayo, thanks for the call, man. We are fast out of time. Ed Martin, final thoughts.
Well, you know, I'm just going to follow up with a final thought on this private email thing. It's like we've looked and we've heard of some of the things that come out when people are talking about, you know, just what they're talking on with as far as official communications go. You've got to wonder how seedy and how shady and how illegal things might have been that they were talking about if they felt, you know, if they were comfortable putting stuff on interagency, you know, intra-agency emails about targeting, you know, conservative groups and groups with the word T in it or whatever. If they were comfortable with that, and that was bad enough, got to make you wonder if what they were talking about as far as policy goes on private emails, to the point that they'd have to look at each other and go, wow, this is pretty unsavory. Let's take it to our other email accounts. I'll email, you know, I'll use my personal phone and I'll text you or I'll email you. But yeah, it's like, this is so bad. We can't talk about it on company computers. No.
Well, and that's always a big red flag there. You have to use personal emails to government officials. You know you're trying to hide something. Here locally, I have plenty of emails that I've from Jim King and others right here from our Metro Council who are using their personal email to conduct city business. And, of course, nothing's ever done. Bottom line is this, folks. Sunshine is the best ingredient that we have as an American populace, and it's up to us to demand answers from every elected official, care what level they are. they are accountable, we the people. And once we start realizing that they have the power unless we empower them, then we're going to be the ones who are at fault, not them. That's the bottom line. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Dale the Truth will be here with me, of course, for our lovely national discussions. Be ready for that one. Don't forget TNT Thursday Night True Show right here, and Sunday night with Liberty Unbridled. All shows, of course, 7 o'clock right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Mr. Martin, thank you so much. Have a great night, okay?
Yes, sir. You have a great week.
All right. Take care, folks. Thanks for listening. Ta-ta.
Everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government.
Founding Fathers.